In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Do the Beatitudes bother any of you the way they bother me? I mean, I suppose I might qualify for mourning. I've had my share of grief and sorrow. But pure in heart, I think I might as well hang it up. I've never been pure in heart. In fact, Jesus in another place nailed my heart to a T when he said, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander." That's why I'm always thankful to come into the Lord's house and sing during the divine service, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." And hungering and thirsting for righteousness, far too often I'm content just the way I am. Peacemaker, I hate conflict, and I usually play ostrich and bury my head, hoping it will just go away. Meek, I struggle to trust that God looks out for me and that I don't need to be looking out for myself. I could go on, but I think you get the picture. I think if we hear the Beatitudes with any kind of honest look at ourselves, we have to confess that no matter how much we want what Jesus promises, we are not the people to whom he promises these things. Well, maybe I should just speak only for myself. I know that when I hear the Beatitudes, I hear a powerful description of what I am not. That is why I find absolutely no comfort when I hear preachers preaching the Beatitudes in a way that describes what I'm supposed to do. If the Beatitudes describe the Christian life I am supposed to live, I readily admit that I'm no Christian. But dear friends, thankfully, our Lord doesn't preach the Beatitudes in this way. He is not saying, "If you are poor in spirit, meek, mourning, and so on, then you are blessed." If that were the case, there has never been a blessed person born of man. Not even the most beloved saints, those who went to their deaths rather than fall away from their faith in Jesus Christ, could live up to the expectations before us in the Beatitudes. They do not now bask in the reward of heaven because they've perfectly fulfilled the requirements of the blessed Jesus who lays before us these Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. You see, to get to the heart of the Beatitudes, it takes more than just hearing them. We have to look at who is speaking them. For there before us, sitting on that hillside and teaching his disciples and us, we find the truly blessed one. He is the poor in spirit. For he is the one, though he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, that through his poverty we might become rich. And so his poverty opens the kingdom of heaven to all believers. He is the one who mourns. He weeps tears of grief over the sin of all people, for he is not willing that any should perish, but that all shall come to the truth. And when he sees the light of life, he is comforted in knowing that he has atoned for the sin of all. He, Jesus Christ, is the meek. For he did he not say, "Take my yoke upon me and lean on me, for I am meek and humble of heart"? He did not defend himself, dear friends. He did not raise a hand to protect himself. He trusted in his Father, and his Father did not let him down. His Father raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand of God, and gave all authority in heaven and on earth to him. Thus the meek one did inherit the earth. He is the one who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. That is, he hungered for our salvation and he thirsted upon the cross for us so that we could be filled with a righteousness that is not our own, but solely the gift He gives. He is the merciful. His whole life was mercy, kindness, and pity. So He obtained mercy for the whole human race. He is the pure in heart, for His heart was never divided, but always desired the will of the Father. And so, raised from the dead in a body incorruptible, He forever looks upon the Father and has earned for us the right to see Him too. He is the consummate peacemaker. By the blood of His cross, He has reconciled God and the whole world, making genuine peace. The Father is completely and totally reconciled to you and me and all people through the finished work of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, and so He is forever hailed as the Son of God. And He was the one who was persecuted for righteousness' sake, scorned, despised, ridiculed, beaten, crucified, killed, all so that He could win for us the kingdom of heaven. Do you see it, my friends? The Beatitudes are not first about us, they are first about Him, about the only blessed one. But is vital, He lived this blessed life not for Himself, but for you and for me, so that He might be able to reach us a share in His own blessedness. This is His great mercy. He does not leave us in our wretchedness. He not only covers our sin with His blessed life, He actually imparts His blessed life to us so that we can now begin to live in Him. Or rather, that He can now begin to live in us. And you know how He does that, don't you? You cry out to Him week after week, "Blessed is He, blessed is He, blessed is He that cometh in the name of the Lord." You cry out that greeting to Him as the Blessed One comes to you under the bread and wine with His most holy body and blood. Here in the Eucharist, He who first received you as His own in holy baptism reaches to you forgiveness for all your sins, and He gives you a share in His own blessed life. That's how you get included in the Beatitudes. In this body and blood of the Savior, the kingdom of heaven is yours, and comfort is yours, and you inherit the earth, and you are filled with righteousness, and you obtain mercy, and you see God. And, beloved, you are called a child of God. Today is the festival of All Saints. It's a day to celebrate that great crowd we saw in our first reading. And do you know who was included in that great crowd St. John was privileged to see? You are, dear friends in Christ. That is a picture of all the saints of all time, of all believers in Jesus Christ from the very beginning until the last day when He returns in great glory. It is a picture of all who have and continue to confess their sins and cling to the One who takes their sin away. None of the saints included in that great crowd were or are perfect in and of themselves, but through faith in Jesus Christ, the perfect One, they were and are seen as perfect in the eyes of our Heavenly Father, for the perfect holiness and righteousness of Jesus clothes them. And so it is that when Jesus preaches the Beatitudes, He describes what His saints look like, not because they fulfill the requirements of the blessed, but because they belong to Him who alone fulfilled the requirements. That, dear friends, is why we celebrate this day the sure and certain truth that our loved ones who have died in the faith have gone to their eternal reward. We know that we shall see them again, for we know that we who have faith in the same Lord Jesus Christ will receive our reward with them. For as St. John says so beautifully in his epistle, we are God's children, and what we will be has not yet been revealed, but we know that what He, our Savior, has been revealed to us, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Therefore, dear saints of God, rejoice and be glad for the day when you shall be like your Lord, knowing fully what it means to be a child of God is indeed coming. Until that great and glorious day then, continue to find your rest and assurance where He bids you find it, in His holy word and sacraments, which He keeps you, through which He keeps you in the divine family of God, so that you, dear children of God, may remain in the divine family, and eventually, when He calls you home, see all the family members of that family to which you belong. In Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.